must remember that whatever happened to him was nearly 30 years ago. I mustn't let his fear taint my mountain. I mustn't let it infect me. So in a way, losing my books was a stroke of luck, and I'm damned if I'll borrow any of Kit's. I shan't read a word about the Lyle expedition. I don't want to know what happened to them. It's in the past. It has nothing to do with us. I catch a smell of charcoal and manure, and a distant clamour of dogs. We're approaching Darjeeling. Without turning my head, I say, "I hear there's rather a jolly bazaar. Have you been?" Kit snorts. "Usual native rubbish. I picked up a few trinkets that'll amuse Dorothy and the boys." "How are they?" "Harry's homesick, but he'll get over it. Ronnie'll soon be captain of the first 11. His lip curls. "Chip off the old block? Dorothy has run off her feet, of course. Village fate and so on. Busy time on the estate." "Yes, of course." Crows fly up with a clatter of wings from something small and dead at the side of the road. I say to Kit, "I think Claire's father is going to sue me for breach of promise." He flicks me an irritable glance, then goes back to scowling at the road. He always does this. Either we talk about him and his family or climbing, or we don't talk at all. "Did Captain Tennant say anything else about the route?" he says. I hesitate. "Only that he doesn't think we'll do it." He turns his head. "Why ever not?" I asked, but he wouldn't say. In places, the whitewashed stones marking the roadside are spattered with dark red blotches that look like blood. I ask Kitts what they are, and he says it's Pan. At my blank expression, he rolls his eyes. "Beetle juice. The natives chew it, then spit it out. Good Lord, Stephen, what were you doing all those weeks on the ship? I threw you a lifeline when I asked you to come. Don't you forget it. I'd have thought the least you could do would be to familiarise yourself with where you're bloody well going." "I meant to, but the porter's lost my books." "Christ, that is so like you." I turn to him. "Kitts." "Pax." He stares moodily ahead, then cuffs me hard on the ear. "Sometimes, little brother, you are the absolute end." Astonishing what a good dinner and a few whiskies and soda can do for a man. My unease about Charles Tennant has quite worn off, and I've smoothed Kit's ruffled feathers by asking him all about his new billiard room and how young Ronnie acquitted himself on his first hunt. We've settled ourselves in the smoking room of the Planters Club and are awaiting our leader, Major Cottrell, who has convened a council of war. None of us has an earthly what it's about. We've drawn our easy chairs close to the fire, and behind us, large palms in brass pots lend a pleasing air of privacy. As I survey my fellow sahibs through a haze of cigar smoke, I feel less like the new boy at school. McClellan is a plump young Scot with carroty hair and freckles. I'll have to keep an eye on him for sunburn. He's on extended leave from a regiment in the Punjab and strikes me as the officious type, so he's well suited to being in charge of porters and supplies. He's fluent in Nepalese and what he calls bazaar Hindi, and is the only one of us who's done any climbing in the Himalaya. He's also a shade off in the vowels and seems very eager to fit in. I know Garrett slightly from Winchester, where he was Kit's best friend. He'll be handling communications, press dispatches, photography and weather reports wirelessed from Darjeeling. An atheist, a snob, and a parlour socialist, he's flamboyantly ugly, with thinning fair hair, brown ringed eyes set too close together, and an enormous hooked nose. Although clever and bookish, he's always been devoted to Kit's. It's one of those ill-assorted friendships that simply works. Over dinner, I asked him why he had joined the expedition, and he flushed.
"Why, because Kit's asked. Simple as that."
At Winchester, everyone called him Beak, for obvious reasons. But the three of us have agreed to dispense with nicknames so as not to exclude the others. Thus, Garrod will be Garrod, and I'm no longer Bodge. Thank God. I've hated that ever since Kitts made it up on my first day at school. Kitts, of course, remains Kitts. No one's called him Christopher since he was born. As our best gun, he'll provide us with game on the trek to the mountain. And since he's also our finest climber, he'll give us our best shot at the summit.